Good morning. Welcome to all of you to today's special convo. I want to invite you to put away all screens and distractions and give your full attention to this amazing group of students who is offering their passion, their expertise, and so much for us to learn this morning about how the 43 in Mexico relate to each of us and our privilege and our care for our sisters and brothers around the world. We will begin.
Hi, everyone. My name is Alma Rosa. I want to welcome you to convocation and thank you for being here. It's really meaningful for us. First, I would like to thank Marcia Good and Rocio Diaz for their unconditional support. Thank you. I also want to thank staff, faculty, friends, and family. Thank you for their support. In the outburst of the massacre in Ayotzinapa, I thought about having convocation on the 43 students kidnapped in Mexico because I noticed not many people knew what was happening. After having envisioned this project, my wonderful partner, Sam Peña, joined in the idea, as well as amazing people like Malcolm Stovall, Mimi Salvador, and Mari Berkey. I want to thank the four of them for their hard work and dedication. Thank you, guys, because without you, this dream will have never become true. Thank you. Next, there will be a song by Gloria Showalter and Andrew Pulse. This song talks about the privilege of being indifferent and reminds us that life is far more valuable than greed.
Good morning, everyone. This is a song called Solo Le Pido a Dios. It's by Leon Greco, and it's made famous by Mercedes Sosa. And the gist of the song is, the one thing that I ask of God is that I not become indifferent to pain, to injustice, to war, to deceit, and to the future. So the ending line talks about what it takes to live a different kind of culture. And I see that as what the students, the 43, were doing and what we are called to.
Solo le pido a Dios que el dolor no me sea indiferente. Reseca muerte, no me encuentre vacía y sola sin haber hecho lo suficiente. Solo le pido a Dios que lo injusto no me sea indiferente, que no me bofete la otra mejilla después que una garra me arañó esta suerte. Solo le pido a Dios que la guerra no me sea indiferente. Es un monstruo grande, pisa fuerte toda la pobre inocencia de la gente. Un monstruo grande pisa fuerte toda la pobre inocencia de la gente. Solo le pido a Dios que el engaño no me sea indiferente. Si un traidor puede más que unos cuantos, que esos cuantos no lo olviden fácilmente. Solo le pido a Dios que el futuro no me sea indiferente. Desahuciados al que tiene que marchar a vivir una cultura diferente. Desahuciados al que tiene que marchar a vivir una cultura diferente.
Amén.
People are afraid to raise their voice in Mexico. We live in a democracy, but truly, it looks more like a dictatorship to me. Those who have vast resources will not help the poor, but instead, they will seek for more money and power. And yes, I am talking about the Mexican government. I will say with no doubt or being afraid of what might happen to me tomorrow that I'm 100% against my government. I am able to say such words without almost any possibility of being kidnapped, killed, or tortured. But students in Mexico can say the same. I will say that most of the information that I'm about to present to you comes from interviews of those who have survived the massacre of Ayotzinapa. And news that were first published and were not manipulated by any type of organization. In Mexico, people try to forget, because in a society where thousands of people disappear and are killed every day, there is nothing us to do. If we try to raise our voices, we are silenced. If we want freedom, we are taken. If we want to live, we are killed. But that has become past because of the 43 students. On September 26, at 6 p.m., around 100 students from La Normal de Ayotzinapa, a left-wing activist school for teachers in a small village in Guerrero, were ready to head to Mexico City. They wanted to march in a commemoration of Tlatelolco 1968, where thousands of students were killed by the hands of the government. The buses were taken, and the owners gave consent. They were ready to take off when two police cars arrived and started shooting the students. The buses took off trying to escape from the shootings. But as they continued, more police cars and the military appeared. They never stopped shooting the students. The Ayotzinapa authorities tried to justify themselves by saying that the intentions of the students was to boycott the mayor's wife's speech in Iguala. In fact, I have followed this case since the beginning, and I read one of the first articles done by Univision, in which they recounted who and what were the orders given to police officers and military. And this is what they said. In September 26, the mayor's wife, Maria de Los Angeles Pineda, was going to give a speech about her role as the head of an institution of children living in poverty in Guerrero. She knew that the students could come to protest against her speech. Because of this, she gave orders to send police officers and military to use any type of force to stop them at the bus station. What happened after were a series of atrocities that I'm not able to explain with words. One of the survivors narrates having seen his best friend being shot in the head in massive amounts of blood. Six of the students were killed in cold blood by the police officers. 25 were seriously wounded, and 43 were kidnapped. After the police officers took the 43 students in a bus, they gave them to the Guerreros Unidos gang. The federal government director searched for the 43, but they have not found any of the students up to this day. Instead, they found a series of mass graves with a total of 30 dead bodies. These events not only raise awareness of the corruption, but also of the atrocities that the Mexican government is capable of. Mexico is tired of injustice, social inequality, lack of opportunities, corruption, thousands of murders, and the government. This does concern all of us here, whether you are from the other side of the world or not, whether you are from the United States or from Mexico. My country is uprising against the government, and I am afraid of what might happen to my people. I have no words to describe to you the feelings of seeing my generation standing up because they want a better future. At the same time, tears come out of my eyes by seeing the violent actions. Their pain is my pain. They are tired, and I am too. This was done by the state in collaboration with the drug trafficking. They thought no one will care. They thought no one will know. For them, they are just numbers. But they were wrong.
Now, some of you might be wondering, why should this matter to me?
You also might be asking, why is a middle-class, privileged white girl standing in front of me lecturing me about Mexico? I stand before you because, like the 43 missing in Mexico, I am a student. I want to learn, and I have a desire to understand. But I am safe. I do not go to class worrying about whether I'll make it back alive or not. I am a strong believer that everyone has the ability to make a change in this world. Folks, this issue matters to us, regardless of our skin color and regardless of our status. This issue matters because we are all people. This issue matters because we live in this country, a country that we call the land of the free and home of the brave, yet day after day, we waste our freedom to learn about the world around us, cowering behind our masks of ignorance. This is my call to you, a call to truly be brave, to remove those masks, and listen to the facts I'm about to tell you. Learn from the words that I have to say, and help lead us towards a better future. Here are some of the facts. The Merida Initiative was defined as a new security cooperative initiative between Mexico and the U.S. to fight drug trafficking and organized crime, with its goal being to, quote unquote, to produce a safer and more secure hemisphere and to prevent the spread of illicit drugs and transnational threats. But reality is showing us that this isn't happening. The Merida Initiative ignores two root causes of drug trafficking, U.S. demand and poverty in Mexico. With 50 million people currently living in poverty, crime and drug trafficking rates in Mexico are skyrocketing. The most important problem with this initiative is the threat it imposes on the Mexican people's human rights. One example of this is that according to the Witness for Peace fact sheet, since 2007, there have been nearly 5,000 reports of human rights abuses to Mexico's National Human Rights Commission, and those are just the documented ones. Also, there have been almost hundreds of thousands of casualties due to the war on drugs in Mexico, 15,000 of which occurred in the year 2010 alone. The 43 missing students come from poor farming families and attended Ayotzinapa Teacher Training College, which helps meet the area's desperate need for teachers and for better education for the younger generation. But after the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, which Malcolm will discuss later, and economic reform, the federal government is trying to cut these programs. As Laura Carlson puts it, Mexico's young people have been targeted by the very people who are supposed to protect them at a moment in national history when their future is at stake. As the U.S. continues to praise these economic reforms, the militarization of Mexico in the name of narcotics is, quote, working against the peace and democracy the U.S. claims that it promotes. Not only has the war on drugs made the already lucrative drug trade more violent by increasing competition between drug cartels, it also has established a network of state crime alliances that can and are being used for political purposes. All of this to say that the war on drugs has never truly been about controlling drug trafficking. Its main focus is and always has been about social control. And because of this, the Mexican youth are the ones paying the price. Plan SOAR, which started in 2001, was a plan that was supported by the U.S., and its motive was to control and increase security at the southern border of Mexico. According to an NCLA report, Plan SOAR included extra measures to prevent passage to Mexico from the south, such as more military checkpoints and heavier enforcements. With that comes more structural control of Mexico itself, so we can have a secure realm for our corporate interests, i.e. NAFTA. It proves that our border policies place economies over the lives of citizens. Today, the 2012 claim by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security official and former border czar Alan Burson said that the Guatemalan border with Chiapas, Mexico, is now our southern border, rings louder and clearer than ever. I have to say to you that ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is a disease that is blinding our perceiving eyes from the truths and realities of the world around us. How can we truly call ourselves global citizens on this campus if we aren't aware of our own impact on others? The first step in solving any problem is admitting that there is one. The change starts with us. I'm tired of ignorance. Ya me cansé de ignorancia.
Mexico, a land of diverse people, geography, lifestyles, occupations, and realities. A land of beauty and turmoil. A land with a deep and rich history. Not just one of conquest, but one of resilience too. From the perspective of someone born and raised in the United States, it is hard to see the complexities that feed into the current state and condition of the country. A lot of that is hard to see because of the sensationalized and skewed portrayals of domestic tensions displayed in our media of Mexico. In terms of the 43 students missing and the 6 dead from Ayotzinapa, along with the cartels that are mostly reported on in the US media, our foreign policy and hegemonic presence in Mexico has a lot to do with it. A couple of policies and operations that are important to understand in relation to the 43 students and the disruption of the cultural, social, political, and economic landscape in Mexico can be found in the North American Free Trade Agreement, also known as NAFTA, and Operation Fast and Furious. Before I delve into these two initiatives, I would like to share a quote by journalist Alma Guillermo Prieto. What people want to know about the coming onslaught of modernity is, how Mexican is it to be modern? Or rather, since everything modern comes from a large, powerful country to the north, how Mexican is it to be like the United States? There is nothing new about such fears of cultural takeover, of course. Mexico has been under invasion from the United States in one form or another since the war in 1847 that cost the country half its territory. And since then, the arrival of each new fad or technological improvement has been used by pessimists to herald the death of Mexican tradition. This quote illuminates historical fact and context that the presence of the U.S. in Mexico has been a recurrent theme over the years. NAFTA was an agreement between the governments of Canada, the United States, and Mexico in 1994 that opened the borders to free trade of corporations across the borders of these countries without any taxes or tariffs. Many people were outraged at NAFTA, but the indigenous people of southern Mexico rose up with resistance on January 1, 1994 to form the Zapatista Army and declare war on its government the first day NAFTA went into effect. Now, many of us on this campus might disagree with the measures that the Zapatistas took. But instead of questioning those measures, how can we be an ally to make sure that what they're experiencing and what they're facing doesn't happen? The beneficiaries of NAFTA were U.S. corporations, which overtook the Mexican economy and severely decimated the life and occupation of the rural farmer in Mexico, especially with the flooding of U.S.-produced corn into Mexico. Along with the economic restructuring that the open borders enabled, came another side to it also. Along with the increased power and the mobility of drug cartels due to the easier access and economic mobility across the border. Drugs, human trafficking, and other criminal enterprises match up with the underground business in which the cartels are involved in. NAFTA was a 15-year agreement. Operation Fast and Furious came towards the end of NAFTA, in which the ATF, which is a part of the FBI, sold over 2,000 weapons to cartels through arms dealers with the excuse of tracking the cartels. There has been 3 other weapons operations in Mexico that we know of, and many more to be uncovered. The weapons were inexcusably lost and only heightened the damage of our initiatives in Mexico, with a death toll of 100,000 since the war on drugs waged in 2006, pushed by the United States. The economic control in which NAFTA secured for corporations limited socioeconomic mobility among many citizens of Mexico, including the students who were protesting the issue. The war on drugs serves as an attack on the Mexican citizens due to the fact that they pay the deadly price of militarized control. Operation Fast and Furious secured the instability of various parts of Mexico, including border towns, that also leads to the encroachment of our government and the policies that shape life across the border. The blood of these efforts are shed by the citizens of Mexico, as the suppression of their life is what our foreign policy is building on. As U.S. citizens, It is time to challenge our foreign policy and imperialistic ventures to alleviate our neighbors of this reality in which they have to deal with every day. Let us challenge our institutions as the students of Ayotzinapa did with bravery and resiliency.
Good morning. My name is Noemi Salvador, and my throat is not very good, so I want to apologize about that. But I consider that this issue is very important because I want it to be the last case on where students like you and me start disappearing and nothing changed. So at the beginning when I started writing this, it was a little bit hard to realize that there can actually be something positive from a massacre. But then I thought, how can it not? The 43 students who were taken in Mexico had ideals. They had dreams, and most important, they believed that they could be the change in their country. But before I start, I would like to say that what is happening in Mexico is an example of what is next for all of us, if we don't use it as a last case and when murders become another statistic. In case some have not noticed, this is already happening in Ferguson, Colombia, Ecuador, Mexico, Pakistan, India, and among other countries as well. Time can make us forget a lot of things, but it will not make us forget the trace each of the students left behind. Their ideals have now filled with courage their family, their countries, their friends, and the whole world. Those ideals will inspire generation upon generation to be the change they want to see in the world. They have called for immediate action. We have lived under the shadows of injustices for too long, and they have shown us that things can change, but only when we stop waiting for someone to change them. This is about stoking an amber of justice. They have shown us that if we don't work together, then we will all fall apart. Now the world needs us. The time has come for campesinos, indigenous, white, African American, mestizos, and others to become one movement. Let's forget about our differences. Mexico has united, and they are asking us to unite as well so that this movement can be successful. If we unite, we can change the curse in history. They show us that there is value within each of us, that we can be the ones who stop this nonsense. But for that, we must lose our fears and adopt the responsibility that as a generation we have carried. The 43 students have given our generation the leading voice that will start a movement that will change history. When African Americans won't be criminalized by the color of their skin, and Latinos won't be judged by the papers they carry. And here is why. Something very special happens when people work together, but when the youth work together, the world becomes alive. The student protesters are the fire demonstrating that life is a priority. The youth of Ferguson, Pakistan, Ecuador, India, and other countries have talked. We will start building a world so that our future generations won't have to live under the fear that we have conditioned our family to live in. Oppression has created leadership in people who never expected to be leaders. Campesinos and indigenous are now realizing the power that they have, and they are using it. And these leaders are young, but wise in the fact that they know that if they also pick up a gun, we will only have two guns and no solution at all. The 43 students have inspired the world that is now adding more and more nations to the cause. In Pakistan, messages of support have filled people in Mexico with hope, people who are still fighting for their country even though they know they are in risk. The world has their eyes on those who have become the target of industrialized countries and their social experiments. The 43 students have destroyed the psychological barriers that have separated all of us over years. And one of the most powerful things they showed us is that education is one of the most powerful solutions of all, if that education is based in the love that has kept us alive. My grandfather used to say, "Books showed me how to think, and knowledge made me free." And this became my dream. I came to the United States seeking the best education possible because I believe I can be the change in my country. I don't want to deal anymore with what country or which company will my country have to fight against in order to survive. And I would like to end with a statement. The 43 has shown us that change is possible, but it requires a brave soul.
Hi, everyone. I just want to thank you all for yesterday when we had the Wear Black with the hashtag of GC Unidos 43. In all my 4 years here at Goshen College, I have never seen such unity as we did yesterday. Not only did we see it in the dorms, but we saw it with the commuters, in the classrooms, faculty and staff, and we even got an email from our president, Jim Brenneman, saying that he too was gonna wear black when he was gonna talk to the Mexican consulate yesterday. Thank you. So I'm talking about what's happening now currently. Right now, there have been daily demonstrations ever since the news about the supposed killings have been released. The students are demanding punishments for the culprits. There have been a few times when these demonstrations have turned violent. On November 8th, students tried to burn down the doors of the presidential palace in Mexico. They have also burned down police cars seeking justice and truth about what really did happen. Right now, government and universities are extremely tense. Police aren't allowed on their campuses because of the known oppressions that they have. With these protests, there's a lot of use with social media. As you can see here, there's many hashtags. Some of the popular ones are Ya me cansé, I am tired. Ya me cansé de tener miedo, I'm tired of having fear. Fue el Estado, it was a state. Noviembre 20, in case some of you guys didn't know, it was also the anniversary of the Revolution of Mexico. And thank you all for the GC Unidos 43. Right now, a lot of the parents are going around in caravans for this past week. There are three of them, and they went all over the state of Mexico. They have been gathering up forces to fight for their rights. And they also don't believe what they have been told. Many of them still think or feel that their children are still alive and not dead. There is a quote by one of the mothers of the 43 that says, how is it possible to burn so many boys, put them in a bag, and throw them in a river? This is impossible. As parents, we do not believe it. Right now, forensic experts in explosions and fires say that the government account of the death and burns remains is not credible at all. Right now, there have been 76 arrests ever since they have gone missing. We just hope that they have their justice and prosecution instead of just these arrests. The mayor and his wife of Iguala have also been arrested. Also, the governor of Guerrero has also resigned, and he was replaced by a person that has experience with student movements. So, they are also asking for the resignation of Peña Nieto. No one believes the government report is credible, and no one can trust it at all. He's also been a lot of troublesome. It took him 11 days to even say anything about the missing students. And it also took them more than a month for him to meet with the parents of the 43. And when they did meet, they met for 6 hours, and the parents weren't even satisfied about what he was saying. Also, when they came out with the news conference about the 43 students, it was on the eve of his trip to China. So that was kind of crappy. Also, on the eve of the revolution, instead of highlighting the fact that all these students around the world are coming together, the president's wife, which is a famous telenovela star, came out with a news press saying that she was going to sell her $7 million white home. So it was just more distraction for us. I'm going to end here with a quote by Metzli Yoali Rodriguez Aguilera, and she says, Mexico is writing another history. Mexico is alive. Protests, music, global action, letters, hashtags, websites, meetings, organizations, vigils, murals, spreading to the world and across borders. Resistance comes from different paths. They are them, but we are them. Their pain is our pain. Their rage is our rage. Nonetheless, their hope is also ours. Until justice arrives, we will remember the stories and faces of each of the 43 students. Memory is our way of resisting, and they will not silence us.
Now we're going to take attendance. We will be calling the names of the 43 missing students. There should be 43 of you who took papers when you walked in with the names and faces of those students. When the name on your paper is called, we ask that you please stand and say falta. And once all the names have been called, just remain standing after your name is called. And when we're done, we're gonna ask that everyone here stand up and join hands with the person next to you as we take a few moments of sacred silence.
Abel García Hernández.
Falta. Abelardo Velázquez Periten.
Falta. Alexander Mora Venancio.
Falta. Antonio Santana Maestro.
Falta. Benjamín Asensio Bautista.
Carlos Iván Ramírez Villarreal.
Carlos Lorenzo Hernández Muñoz.
César Manuel González Hernández.
Cristian Alfonso Rodríguez Telumbre.
Cristian Tomás Colón.
Gilberto Ortiz Ramos.
Dorian González Parra.
Emiliano Alén Gaspar de la Cruz.
Everardo Rodríguez Bello.
Felipe Arnulfo Rosas.
Giovanni Galíndez Guerrero.
Israel Caballero Sánchez.
Jesús Giovanni Tlatempa.
Jonas Trujillo González.
Jorge Álvarez Nava.
Jorge Aníbal Cruz Mendoza.
Jorge Antonio Tizapa.
José Luis González Parral.
José Ángel Cantor.
José Ángel Navarrete González.
José Eduardo Bartolo.
José Luis Luna Torres.
Josvani Guerrero de la Cruz.
Julio César López Palzón.
Bernardo Flores Alcázar.
Leonel Castro Abarca.
Luis Ángel Abarca Carrillo.
Luis Ángel Francisco Arzola.
Magdaleno Robel Lauro Villegos.
Marcial Pablo Maranda.
Marco Antonio Gómez Molina.
Martín Yetzmani Sánchez García.
Mauricio Ortega Valero.
Miguel Ángel Martínez.
Miguel Ángel Mendoza Zacarías.
Saúl Bruno García.
Now we ask that everyone please stand. We're going to take a quick moment of silence.
This moment is meant to be a space of sacred silence. While you are doing this, think about the students who are missing. You are holding the pictures of those students, as you are students too.
Thank you. You may be seated. To close, Malcolm is going to perform a poem.
Whose problem is this? Do I have the right to get into 43 people's business? Thoughts stop me in mid-sentence, but I must proceed because the stakes are too intense. Take away the suspense, militarize social repression from Ayotzinapa to Ferguson, criminalize perspectives on oppressed subjects projected. Now that's a PowerPoint. Slides flip through my mind. Now I recognize who's neglected, but wait, here comes the lies, ways to trivialize. Neutralization, place the blame elsewhere, but you can't shift my eye. Like I saw in third person, now I see everyone you're hurting. Blame it on a cartel, blame it on a surveillance tape, but you can't ignore statistics, one every 28. One unarmed black man is killed every 28 hours. NAFTA, Merida, Fast and Furious implemented to devour a whole country. 2009, 2000, firearms flooded to the south side of the border, government financed, but that's all we know. Police murder blacks at the same rate of lynchings during Jim Crow. That's right. It ain't just about Mexico. It's limited socioeconomic mobility through militarized economic political control. You can kill and take away the bodies, but you can't take the soul. That's immortal. So I will fight your techniques, trying to nourish my reality by digging deep into context, history, intersection, conscious of your fallacies. Peña Nieto is just a puppet with extended ties to Monroe, enforced U.S. corporate foreign policy aimed to extrapolate the resources and exploit economically, coded with different intentions. War on drugs secures monetary prison, industrialized sentence. On the stock market ourselves, does that ring a bell? 100,000 Mexican civilians have died within the past decade as a result of the war on drugs, the same war waged throughout predominantly minority neighborhoods financed. Someone's getting paid. Corporate economic chattel in any phase. But I'm cracking the code, finding my way out of the maze. As oppression manifests and changes, so should the complexity of our ways. Targeting the encompassing structure and the people behind the scenes at play. Asking who's the man behind 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 that 43 times over, and what are his gains? It's time we stand up, because we're done with this pain. We must never let up. We can't be afraid. If we give up now, we've succumbed to our grave. I wrote this with time. I wrote this with patience. This is my passion. This is my station. But it's taken away from my studies. But I won't take for granted my education. For my ancestors and the 43 sake, they have awakened me. My pops told me push through this phase as motivation for the sake of advantageous documentation. When that was used to justify the control of America, not the country, the corporatized, militarized, contracted enterprise of this far-extending continental nation. See, we all come from different places and origins, confined to different spaces, through centuries of terror and forced assimilation. And to this day, there still remains parallel situations. I think it's time for parallel mobilization. Don't be afraid. Break free of your chains. Let's free each other, humanity over capital gains. Don't be fooled by the pawns in their game. The ants take over the elephant. Let oppression wash away. And on that day, we will celebrate the struggle, dancing in the rain.
Thank you, everyone. And please notice the 43 chairs outside the library. They symbolize the 43 students who are not here present. Thank you, everyone.